The next couple of sessions, we're going to deal with the issue of psuke de zimra. Literally, psuke are verses of zemer, of praise to God. It's a fascinating section for the following reason. You don't just walk into a conversation with the Almighty. You don't just show up and say, hey, God, I'm here, you know, let's have a conversation. A person has to prepare oneself. And the preparation that we use, that our rabbis use, is the system of psuke de zimra. We'll talk about it. The original psuke de zimra is the bracha beforehand, Baruch Sha'amar, which we'll analyze. It's Yishtabach, the bracha afterwards. What's in between? Six kapitlach Tehillim, Psalms 145 through 150, what we call Tehillah LeDavid or Ashrei, through the end of Tehillim. And we'll talk about what's unique about those kapitlach. Over time, the minhag has expanded psuke de zimra. It quotes other phrases of David HaMelech from Divrei Yamim, Hodu L'Shem, from the Shiras Hayam. We'll talk about that and that role. May take us three sessions, but it's very, very crucial. Because unfortunately, you know, in life, Hakal Tali B'mazel, there's certain things in life that don't get what they deserve. There are other things that sometimes maybe get more than they deserve. Take a Shabbos morning in Shul. You know, everyone shows up for Musaf. Musaf is what? It's Unishama Parim Sfaseinu. We can't, as a people, engage in the Korban Musaf, so we read about and we pray about the Korban Musaf. But these essential characters to davening, the essential relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Tefillah Shacharis, in the preparation for the Tefillah Shacharis, a proper Psuke de Zimra, on Shabbos it's expanded, Shabbos and Yom Tov we have more time, so we add other Kapitlach Tehillim, other chapters of Psalms. That, unfortunately, it gets skipped by many. Some people miss it because they come late. Others who come on time may say it in a very, very fast pace. And it's a tragedy because, as we're going to analyze and explain, this gives you the right perspective. It gives you the right psychological frame of reference to engage in really the proper appropriate, modality of psuke de zimra, of the Amidah. What do we mean? And I'm sorry for talking about it. Let's delve in. If I'm going to approach the Almighty, I've got to know what God is and what God is not. I also have to understand the following. The Almighty runs a universe, and the Almighty takes into account the needs of the universe. The universe is not here for a narcissistic perspective to meet my every whim and fancy. That's not per se, you know, the objective or the purpose, you know, of the Almighty to be there, so to speak, you know, to fulfill my, you know, small, insignificant but self-centered needs. On the other hand, we know that God is a shomea tefillah. He hears and he responds to prayer. Number one. Number two is we know that God looks over the species. With most species, it's a species as a whole. When it comes to human beings, insofar as a human being is worthy, that they perfect themselves, they're worthy of Hashgacha Pratis. So God is the master of Hashgacha Klalis, and we're going to see this throughout Psuke de Zimra, how God controls the seasons. He controls physics, chemistry, biology, the weather, meteorology, on one hand. And we get a broad, broad perspective of the Almighty, a much broader, larger sense of God running this universe. And we also see God as a historical God, that God is a God of history. At the same time, we get insights into the nature of God. Now, I want to borrow from the Rambam's second chelek of the Mora Nevuchim. The Rambam asks a basic question. Why do you have all these descriptions of the actions of God? See, a human being cannot ultimately know God, but we can observe and understand things about God through his actions. So whether it's Yeshaya HaNavi, in our case for Psuke de Zimra Tehillim, we see the different actions of God. And what do we get from these actions of God? There's a principle, a macro mitzvah known as V'halachta Bidrachav, to walk in God's ways, imitatio Dei, to imitate, to conduct oneself as a godlike person by doing the things that God does. So just like God is pokeach ivrim, we help people try to see, to get insight. Just like God is yasom v'almana yodeid, he supports and he facilitates the existence and the viability and sustainability of the life without a parent for the yasam, for the orphan, the sustainability and the viability of a life without a spouse for a widow. So too, we in our life have to become godlike, and we have to support the orphan and the widow. I'll give you an example, and we're going to come back to these in Ashrei, in Chanun v'Rachum Hashem, Erech Apayim v'Rav Chesed. Just like God's actions, if it was a human being, you would describe the actions of such a person as someone who's empathetic, who feels the plight, who can put themselves and appreciate what someone else is going through. What's Rachum? Chanun, that's empathy. Rachum is sympathy. I've never given birth, so I can't empathize with someone who's going through labor pains. But what? I can feel for them. I can see the pain and the challenge and the travail and the difficulty. Even though I can't empathize, I can at least sympathize and feel for them and try to feel their hurt and appreciate their hurt. So such a person that does that, you'd say, is a sympathetic person. What's Erech Apayim? Someone who's patient or tolerant. We see God tolerating our warts and pimples, our foibles, our hypocrisy and inconsistencies. We see God having tremendous sense of patience throughout history. You know what? In our life, when there's people, whether it's a relative, whether it's a peer or a coworker, who does things that irritate us, that bother us, and we lose patience, if God can tolerate us and God can conduct his affairs in a way that shows great degrees of patience and tolerance, for us to become godlike, we become tolerant. What's the idea? What's the idea there? So part of the reason we read these descriptions of God is, number one, that as we, through the experience of tefillah, try to improve and transform ourselves, try to become more sensitive, more patient, more tolerant, how do we become that? How do we become better people, more decent human beings through the experience of prayer? By reading about the descriptions of God. Now, why is this crucial? What does anyone know about God? Well, one thing we know, if something was edited and became part of the canon of Tanakh, we know that these statements are correct statements. They were said beruach hakodesh, under the intellectual level of divine premonition, ruach hakodesh, or divine premonition. In the case of some of these statements, they had the status of nevuah. Not only were they perceived at a very high level intellectually, they were correct perceptions of how God works and how God manifests and his actions manifest themselves. But what? That they were told by God that these should be shared with others. They should be said over and communicated to others. So what do we have? We take these statements that have, so to speak, the OU Heksher, you know, the God's own stamp of approval that they were said Beruach HaKodesh, and we get an insight into how God works in God's actions so that we can become godlike, more perfected, more refined, more sensitive human beings. That's one idea. That's the idea that we're borrowing from the second chelek of the Mor Nevuchim of the Rambam. That's why we read these, we say these, we internalize these actions, and they become internalized so that they become our values. That's number one. Number two is what we said before. We have a much broader perspective of the Almighty. A much broader perspective. And it breaks down our certain sense of self-centeredness, of narcissism, of selfishness. And it gives us a much broader perspective on the universe, a much healthier and more proper notion of how to relate to God, of what God is and what God is not. And as we prepare ourselves for a very, very meaningful, powerful rendezvous, for a very, very meaningful, powerful dialogue, this prepares us. This is the hachana that's necessary. Now, I'm borrowing an idea from Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, that you look at, there's a major transformation that takes place at the beginning of Psukei Dezimra to the end of Psukei Dezimra, from what we'll call Baruch Shamar to Yishtabach. Every morning when we wake up, we try to encapsulate, understand, to know God. What do we say? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, hakel ha'av harachman ha'mehulal, the one that is praised, b'fi amo, through us, through his people, Mishubach umafoar bilshon chasidav avadav. His servants, the pious ones, are going to praise him. We're going to use Shirei David Avdecha because, again, what's unique about Shirei David, the songs of David, the Tehillim? What's unique about that? When you need to relate to God, the vehicle that we use is David HaMelech. How to relate to God from a perspective of gratitude. How to relate to God from a perspective of need, from a perspective of being down, depressed, hurt, lonely, afraid. How to relate to God from a point of view of ecstasy, from a point of view of being, you know, like things are going your way. Things are positive. All these different psychological modalities, we have to sublimate those emotions, channel them, relate them to God through the realm of Chachma. And that's exactly what David HaMelech did. That's what Tehillim are. It relates to God. It takes these emotions, and through the prism of wisdom, of Chachma, it relates to God. And we borrow, because why do we borrow the words of David? Because we know they were said correctly, perfectly. They're not some human projection onto God. They were said, these are correct notions and correct ideas. They were said Baruch HaKodesh. So we take Shirei David Avdecha, Nihalelcha, we're going to praise you, God. Nigadelcha, we're going to extol you. Unshabechecha, unfa'erecha, v'nazkir shimcha. We're going to accomplish all of this. We're going to encapsulate you, understand you, praise you, size you up. We're going to be your Madison Avenue marketing firm, not only for ourselves, but for the world. Just parenthetically, before we continue, you know, you get a great insight into the nature of a people through its language. For instance, the Eskimos, they don't just have one word for ice. They don't just have one word for snow. They have multiple types of ice and types of snow because they're dealing with subtleties and nuance and sophistication in different formations when H2O freezes. You know, we, Amaratsim that we are, we have a word, snow and ice. You know, that's it. Take, for instance, the Greek language. There are different types of war. There are different terms, synonyms, for different subtleties and nuances of military engagement, of military conflagration. We have one word, war. In Hebrew, the language of the Jewish people, in Hebrew, when it comes to relating to God, different ways of praising God, of extolling God, we have different synonyms. Unfa'erecha, unshabechecha, hamhulal, right? Nhalelcha, nigadelcha, nazkir shimecha. Now, there's zemer, there's shevach, there's pe'er, there's leromeim, lahader, laleu, lakales. We have, and unfortunately, and this is part of the tragedy, we don't have a great translation or understanding, many of us don't, of what are the subtleties and what's the difference between lekales and lehalel? What's the difference between lishabeach, lefa'er? What's the difference between leromeim, legadel, lishabeach? What do all of these mean? But there are different ways of relating to God. There are different ways of praising God, of speaking to God, of communicating to God. And you see that here, particularly in the Psukei Dezimra. Now contrast that. These are all action verbs. We're going to extol, and we're going to praise, and we're going to sing Shevach, and et cetera, et cetera. Go to Yishtabach, and keep in mind, as we said earlier, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you have more time, we're not engaged in work, so we expand the Psukei Dezimra, so it's not just one paragraph Yishtabach, but Yishtabach starts at Nishmas Kol Chai. Okay? That's why the original Minhag Ashkenaz, which the German Jews observe, is they stand up from Nishmas through all of Yishtabach, because it's one long, so to speak, section. It's the one completion of this. What do you have there? It's not Unshabechecha. It's Yishtabach. It's the Hitpael, meaning only God can praise himself. After Acharei Kichlos HaKol, we do the best that we can throughout Psukei Dezimra, through saying the words of David, and through relating to God through different modalities, through seeing God through Hashkacha Klalis, general providences we'll get into, through specific providence, and Ashrei, from A to Z, we see God in every aspect of our life and we relate to God. When it's all said and done, we've made a great, great attempt. We've tried our best to relate to you, to praise you, to extol you, to encapsulate you, to understand you. And in the end, yishtabach, only God can praise himself, the reflexive, not us. Titgadel, only God can extol himself. Titromeim, titkadash, only God can say kedusha, can sanctify and understand the uniqueness and that which is special and distinct about God. Ultimately, we as human beings can't, and we acknowledge that. That's why at the end, when it's all said and done, we go from the active verb to the reflexive verb. Not us reflexing, but God. Only God can reflect upon himself. Ultimately, it's not something we can do. We have a need to. We have a need to as human beings. We talked about this in other shiurim, when the Gemara says, Racham Eininu. Women have the need to pray. Aye, isn't it time-bound? Isn't it limited to time? No. Existentially, the condition of being a human being, of being a whimsical, fickle, needy, the needy existence that we have, that's the mechayev, that state demands that we relate to our sustainer, that we reach out to our sustainer, our maker, our creator. That is gender neutral, we said. Racham Eininu. And what? So we have this need. And God allows us to express that need. But we acknowledge that ultimately we cannot accomplish the goal. We can't nehalelchecha unshabechecha unfa'erchecha v'naskir shimcha. We can't. We try. We try our best because we have a need to reach out to you. But ultimately it's yishtabach. It's titalel, titramam, titkadesh. That's one point. And that's a crucial, crucial experience to be sensitive to as we go through Psukei Dezimra every day. I'm going to borrow the Rav used to quote, I think it's Kapitel Kuf Bey, Psalm 102. Lecha dumiya tehila. When it's all said and done to you, God, silence is the greatest praise. Silence is the greatest praise. In the end, we can't. In the end, we're incapable. But we need to. We need to, and that's why we try. Now, let's go to Psukei Dezimra. So we start out, Baruch Shamar Vayalom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hosev Vereshis, Baruch Omer Ve'osa, Baruch Gozerim Kayim. God is a, remember, Baruch means is a source of all blessing. God is a source of all blessing. And we say this. And we're going to get up and relate to the source of all blessing. We're going to try to understand God. And what happens? We go through Psukei Dezimra. I'm going to spend some time today and next session on some of the Tehillim and bring out what we try to do. Let's start with Mizmor Lasoda. We express gratitude. We've said it before. The bumper sticker, the sine qua non of our existence, to quote Rabbeinu Bechaye, is that a Jew is homo gratitudinis. We are profoundly grateful people. And each and every morning, for technical reasons, we can't do it on Pesach because of the chametz issue, the lachmei Torah, but we can't do it on Erev Yom Kippur because you don't bring ein mevin korbanos lebeis ha-psul. That's a side halachic issue. But a typical day, we say that the korban Torah. Hariyul Hashem kol haaretz, all of humanity, not just us. Ivduas Hashem besimcha. What does it mean to worship God besimcha? It doesn't mean we're on this high, you know. It's not that, you know, we should all be happy. You know, no. What simcha means is that there's a certain state of being in the presence of God. We relate to God by being in his presence. The ultimate simcha is not feeling good. The ultimate simcha is that reality, or that state of awareness that we're there. And if you look at the term simcha, whether it's in Parshas Re'eh by the mitzvah of Elias HaRegel and the Shalmei Simcha that are brought, it's always being lifnei Hashem. Simcha is always associated with that. Du'u ki Hashem hu Elokim. It's that knowledge that God is, what's Elokim? He's the one who controls the universe. He is the one who built into the universe the laws of physics, chemistry, biology, the meteorology patterns. Hu asanu, he made us. Velo, and we belong to him. There's a kriyuksiv, velo with a vav, we are his. God has claims on us, his juridical rights to us. We're consecrated to him. And there's also the kriy is sometimes velo with an aleph. We didn't make the world. Very often it's kochi votsem yadi. My perspective is it's under my control, it's what I've built, what I've accomplished, what I will do, what I can do. No, not us. V'lo anachnu. Amo v'tzon mariso. We have a special, unique relationship. We are his people. We're his flock. He's our shepherd. And we acknowledge that hand of Hashgacha. Not only is it Elohim, the creator of science, but he's our shepherd. Hashgacha pratis. Boshar Rav Besoda, come to his gates. We have, by definition, we need to express gratitude. Chatzeros of Bishila, with praise. Hodu lo baruchu shemo, acknowledge. Acknowledge the knowledge of God. When you talk about the Shem Hashem, what does it mean, the name of God? Name of God means the knowledge of God, of how he works, how he runs this universe, how he sustains this universe, how he's the master of science and the master of providence. Ki tov Hashem la'olam chasto. His chesed is eternal. It's not just when we perceive it. Yeah, when we perceive it, we act. We bring the korban todah. We say the psalm. But it is la'olam. Vador vador emunaso. It's dor vador. Then you have Yehi Chavod. You have these series of psukim, which we're going to get into next time. And I'm going to say one thing about Ashrei this time, and then we'll continue it next time. The idea that Ashrei is an acrostic from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav, what does that mean? Two ideas. One is that you see God in every aspect. You see God in every aspect of our lives, from A to Z. Not just in the miraculous. We're going to speak about next time that Kala Omer Halal B'chol Yom HaRezim Mecharef Megadef. That's blasphemy. What, you only see God when there's a blatant miracle? When there's a violation of the laws of science, of physics? No. We see God each and every day. Yehei chelki im gomrei halal. My chelik should be with those, the Gemara says, kuf yud ches and Shabbos, with those who conclude the halal each and every day. What halal? Not halal ha-mitzri, not the halal of miracles, but what? Halal, this halal. The last six kapitlach, the Psalms, where you see God in every aspect of life. So that's what Ashrei is. It's from Aleph to Tav, from A to Z. The second idea of Aleph to Tav, A to Z, is this, that ultimately, what we said before, I try to relate to God with that which makes me human, the most sophisticated aspect of who and what I am, my abstract intellect that's reflected through speech. Language or speech is the ability to reflect abstractions, ideas, concepts. It's the Tzelem Elokim, it's the intellect of the human being, what makes a human human. And I try my best. And ultimately acknowledge, I cannot encapsulate God. I tried from every aspect of me, every gift, every aspect of speech, from Aleph to Tav, from A to Z, and you can't do it. Acharei kichlos hakol, after it's all said and done, you can't ultimately describe or know God. In the end, it's yishtabach. Only God can praise himself. Titgadel. Only God can extol himself. That's the idea. We're going to continue with the details and specifics next time.